I don't know. I'm pretty white, so I don't really know that too much. But I said that a million times when I was in Cambodia. And this chroma is a traditional scarf that everyone wears. You can use it as a baby sling to climb a tree and to carry a watermelon. So lots of uses that you can use this thing for. Today, what we're going to do is our team is going to share many stories to you about what happened for them, what God was doing at work in Cambodia through these wonderful people who put in a ton of work to prepare and to go to Cambodia and traveled all the way around the world. And so I'm excited today to do a little bit of a show and tell, okay? So we're going to show some pictures, some videos, and some stories of what Jesus was up to in Cambodia. And so this is just our team a little bit. I'll just do one slide. Our team and our hosts, Darren and Monaco, are in there as well on either side. And they're actually coming again in October to be with us. And so we're excited for that as well. So without further ado, let's begin with Stephen.
Everybody? Okay. So this was my first time on a short-term mission trip to Cambodia where we helped support two Calgarians, Darren and Monaco Pulschuk. They've been serving the Cambodian people, also known as Khmer people. So being my first mission trip, I was quite nervous about it, but luckily Pastor Brandon had weekly meetings for us where we would prepare mentally and spiritually. There were many things that we had to work out, but God guided us through it all. We, as a group, decided to concentrate on two ministries. One would be medical support for the women in the city's sewing center. The second would be a sports camp for elementary kids in the rural school. The medical team was made up of therapists, nurses, and doctors who prepared for what they thought would be beneficial for the Khmer people, for the women in particular. They would research common issues that the Khmer people had, and then they would try and prepare material to help educate them. For the sports camp, we required a lot of equipment for soccer, basketball, and hockey. We were able to take care of the soccer and basketball ourselves, but we needed help with hockey. So we asked, and you guys helped. So thank you very much for your generous donations for the hockey sticks. As for the hockey sticks, I never knew it was going to be really challenging. We had to transport them, of course, so Canada Post wouldn't deliver to Cambodia. I called some courier companies and it would have cost thousands. So we decided to check the hockey sticks as oversized luggage. So we wrapped them all up into like two bundles with a clear plastic wrap. When we got to the airport, the airline had difficulty checking in the bags, our hockey sticks. There was a large x-ray machine that wasn't working, so they said that they would have to open up the packages and inspect each hockey stick individually. But God was with us and he found us another x-ray machine on the other end of the airport. So we were able to process that without having to go through that problem of opening up all the luggages and hockey sticks. Luckily, so obviously that was a huge stress release. We eventually got on the flight and arrived in Siem Reap. God delivered us all safely to Siem Reap, but unfortunately, Pastor Brandon's suitcase and our hockey sticks didn't arrive. But on the third day in Siem Reap, we were waiting in our hotel lobby, and we were just waiting for our ride. And I was listening to Pastor Brandon talk, and all of a sudden I saw these two gentlemen walking in their lobby carrying hockey sticks and suitcase. So we're very, very thankful. Each evening, we would discuss about how we saw God that day. So on that particular day, I saw God, and God delivers, literally.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to add with Stephen's story that when we were sitting in the lobby and we're waiting, we're actually just talking. We're like, it's like day three. What are we going to do with all these hockey sticks? Like, if we don't have hockey sticks, we can't do a hockey camp. What are we going to do? And then literally as we're talking about that and we saw the people walking in with the sticks, I heard a choir of angels singing, rejoicing that we got these sticks. It was pretty amazing. So I'm going to talk about sitting in the back of a pickup truck. And I know that our church is still working on a safety mission, safety policy for the mission trips, but it's not yet done. So we got the opportunity to sit in the back of a pickup truck, which was really cool. Part of our mission was running a sports camp for children. And this was a task that we had to do. The sports camp was in the village. So the hotel that we stayed at was in Siem Reap. The village is about a 30-minute drive away. So our typical day was to wake up at around 5:45 and then get breakfast at the hotel. And then we would meet for morning devos around 6:30, I believe. And 7 o'clock is when we would leave to go into a pasture van and drive out to the village every morning. I believe it was the third day that, for some reason, we didn't have the passenger van available. So 7 or 8 of us had to fit into the back, or not in the back, but 7 or 8 of us had to fit into Darren's pickup truck. A couple of us had to fit in the back of the pickup truck, and Kaven and I drew the short straw, and we were in the back. So, which was fine, it was actually quite airy, and it's nice out there. So we take the highway to get part of the way to get to the village, and we turn off the highway, and then you're driving through the village at that point. And you see like houses on each side of the road, and it's very close. But Kaven and I, we realized that we were passing by all these kids on bikes, and we were like, we recognize all these kids. Like, they're the kids that are all at the camp, so we know them all. So we stand up in the back of the pickup truck, we're hanging onto the roof rack, and we start like waving to all the children, and every single one of them will smile and wave back. And it's so cool because like we know these kids, we recognize them, and they're either biking to school or they're biking to meet us at the sports camp. So then Kaven and I, we start waving to everyone that we saw. All the adults, the older children, the seniors, and all of them will, at first they're a bit skeptical, but all of them, as soon as they see you smile, they'll smile and wave back. And that's really cool, because I think if you were to drive around in the back of a pickup truck in Edmonton, and you were just waving to random people, people would just be like, WTF, like, why the face, you know? So, why that was a cool experience for me is that riding in the back of the pickup, there was one less barrier between us and like the kids and like the villagers. So when you're driving through the village, you see people, you see right into their lives. The villagers, they all live out in the open because, as I think Doris will share a bit more about that, they live very, very modestly. Like, you'll be surprised. And it's so hot there, like 7 a.m., it's still like 33 degrees, 34, sunny. So they're all out and they're doing things. And the kids that we all saw, it was really special to share just a little bit, like one more connection with them, just a wave and a smile. And you see them, they're very young, they're elementary kids. They're out and about, they're going to school. And when they're not in school, they're doing chores. They're helping take care of their younger siblings because their parents aren't around. Or they're helping the family out by trying to sell supplies or food by the street side. And you're thinking like, yeah, these are kids that are 6 to 10 years old. Like, my kid's almost that age. So it's very, very, very eye-opening. But waving and sharing a smile was a special connection that I had. One more thing that I'll share that's a bit off topic, a bit of a sidetrack, is that I used to think that going on missions was a bit interesting, and it's harder for me to do, especially from our church where we're very like doctor and nurse focused in the past. But this trip has helped me see that God can use anyone for a mission. So if you're thinking about it, really you just need to be willing to answer the call. So think about it. Thank you.
I'm not Caven.
Hey guys, it's Caven. I'm calling in from Saskatoon. I'm out here working with Athletes in Action. I'm so sorry I couldn't be there today. I guess it's Sunday. Yeah, it's Friday right now. Sorry I couldn't be there today to talk about the Cambodia missions trip stuff. But I will share a little bit about kind of a story, but kind of just some things that I took away from the trip. And also, I'm going to try to do this in one take. And I'm probably not going to look at the camera at all because I'm kind of weird. But anyways, Cambodia, the trip was like kind of amazing for me. I really, really enjoyed it a lot. I learned a lot about myself, about God, and just what it really means to be on missions. I had like three things in my mind. So I got two more minutes left. So first thing, it really just like, I don't know, I think it kind of shocked me a little bit, and also just was quite surprising that, you know, how joyful the people of Cambodia, and specifically the kids that I got to work with there, like how much joy they show up to our camps with, despite, you know, all these circumstances and stuff that they come from. A lot of them come from pretty much like almost nothing. Like, they live in shacks and stuff, and yet they still come, great big smiles on their face, bringing their brothers and sisters along and just having a lot of fun. And like, I think like there's a lot to take away from just being grateful, right? Second point, I think it was this whole trip when we started planning back in, I think, January or February, I think it, you know, God taught me a lot about, you know, how important it is to be prepped for something like this, and just to be, you know, spiritually ready and physically ready and mentally ready and even culturally ready for this kind of a trip. So I think, you know, God worked through our team a lot, and, you know, our team was just so amazing to work with right from the beginning. And I think, you know, God really put our team together, and it was supposed to be that way. And then finally, I have 31 seconds. I think my theme for myself this whole year, and it includes this missions trip, is just gratitude. And so throughout that whole trip, I was just so grateful that, you know, we didn't run into any issues on the plane. We got, like, things didn't work out to our original plans, but they still ended up working out. Yeah, I'm gonna go over time. I'm sorry, guys. But yeah, gratitude just for, like, you know, for me, despite all of the anxieties or worries or uncertainties you might have around being in Cambodia or what to do at camp or whatever it was, I was just so grateful that when camp started and I was out there playing with kids and coaching sports and stuff, like, it just felt right. Like, nothing seemed to matter except, like, being with these kids and, you know, being able to be a light and just go and have fun. And so, yeah, and it's interesting that I got to do that. Sorry, guys. Okay, 4 minutes tops, I promise. It's interesting that I got to even do that at all, because right after I came back home, within 2 weeks, I was out in Saskatchewan and kind of doing the same thing, but with, like, not with village kids in Cambodia, but with a lot of different communities in Saskatchewan, and some of them, the week that I just finished, yeah, I'm going over 4 minutes, I'm sorry, guys. The week that I just finished, we worked with a group in kind of an inner city type community that is just, they're either in poverty, and some of them are, they're from very diverse backgrounds and cultures, and so it was interesting to kind of work similar, like in Cambodia, with that language barrier, and just, you know, trying to still connect with these kids despite some of that language and that culture barrier. And so, sorry, yes, I'm going over time. You cut out whatever you want, it's fine. It's gonna be 5 minutes. Yeah, Cambodia was awesome. I hope to be able to do it again. And, you know, I hope that a lot of you watching here tonight get inspired and, I don't know, just moved by the stories that you hear from everybody. And, you know, hopefully, you know, consider going on the next missions trip. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm in Saskatoon for a long, lot. I won't see you guys soon, but see you guys soon. Hey guys, it's Kaven.
Hi, my name is David, and I'm so glad that Pastor Brendan was able to stop me from jumping the queue. That give you a little bit more context I would like to share with you. I met five men in the sewing room on the first day of work. They all work in the fish farm. The men have big, happy smiles and they engage well. Later on, we talk about alcohol addiction. Actually, one of the guys said he would stop alcohol in response to Isabella's talk of healthy living lifestyle. I saw three of them working hard in the fish farm. They looked dignified and they were very thankful. We met Retanak, and he's the one standing next to Pastor Brendan, and who just joined Darren as a pastor with his wife, Dari. He's a great translator and a great pastor. Really got a lot of help from him. But I wonder why these men addicted to alcohol, gambling, and other things. Later, Darren introduced this book to us. It's Sokriessa Sims called The Tears of My Soul. Sokriessa talked about the killing fields in Cambodia under the Khmer Rouge regime in 1975 and 79. Out of 7 million population, over 2 million people were killed. They were hacked to death by breaking the neck with a hole. Thousands and thousands of families were killed, particularly the educated and the middle class. So Kriyasim was 13 years old when he witnessed the death of 11 of his family members. He survived the hit. He fell into the grave, and he was covered by the dead bodies of his family members. That's how he escaped. After a week, he went away from the village and slowly made his way to Thailand. But he never forgot his three promises that he made at his family grave. He said, "I will revenge their deaths, dedicate myself as a Buddhist monk, and leave Cambodia forever because of the pain." Later, he ended up in Toronto, Canada, studying in Bible college and PhD in psychological counseling. After 20 years in Canada, his life was changed by Jesus. He not only received Jesus in his heart, he met many Christians who loved him and counseled him. He went through years of post-traumatic stress disorder with anxiety, grief, and nightmares. Over the years, by meditating on God's word, especially Psalm 23rd, slowly and gradually, the nightmares, the tears, and the anger disappeared. Years later, he went back to Cambodia and he met with the killers of his family. He forgave them. He visited the place of his family's mass grave. His Christian friends stood by his side and prayed for him. He did not feel alone to suffer. He said Cambodians in the 60s and older will remember the atrocities of Khmer Rouge. even the stories by these elders to their children and grandchildren has major impact of PTSD because of the family ties, the family history. So Kriyasa started churches in rural Cambodia to bring the gospel and healing to them. You know, on our second Sunday evening, we worship in an international Christian fellowship church with young Cambodians who speak fluent Khmer and also English, leading the worship. I wonder how the stories of the massacre would impact this generation. I wonder how God's word and his presence removed the tears of their soul. Ratanek is the new pastor among men. I pray for his ministry among the workers and the families. They are seeing hope in the financial situation and also for the soul. But I pray that they will be healed as well. Thank you.
Those of us who are older, who went on this SDM, we're not really surprised by the condition that we saw. What was surprising was, I guess, the contentment of these people. Like that, there will be lots of photo that you see, the same contentment and the joy that they have. And the kids are kids, although they don't have a lot. Unless a pair of shoes is part of their school uniform, the only sandal they have on their feet is likely the only footwear that they will have. Yet we have so much more, and then more often than not, I guess, we still don't feel content or just looking for more. And because of the work of Darren and Monaco, these people, they continue to cling on to faith and hope. We go to Cambodia because I guess we felt we are being called, that still small voice of God. And I used to think that it takes a lot of effort and intentionality to hear their voice. But somewhere, I guess, towards the end of that trip, I come to see that in a very different light. The voice of God, not of hurried, nor of chiding, of condemn, nor of condemnation, not for the heart of hearing, but for the heart of love, spoken in kindness for the healing of his wounded prophet, always pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, impartial, and sincere. The image is of a parent holding on to the baby, speaking words of kindness and encouragement, in a still small voice, trying to coach the first word out of the baby's mouth. When the baby responds, there's much joy and celebration. The process repeats until the child is able to ask questions, then there are second thoughts. But there is no mistake with God. He's beckoning you to go and get hold of his good and perfect plan to prosper you, promising to be with you, calling you to a full and fruitful life. So go, a ship can be steered only when it is smooth.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Doris. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Sewing Center. We spent 6 mornings with the ladies at the Sewing Center, and sometimes their husbands were there. You can see their photos there. We were there to provide some public health teaching, to provide medical consultations, and also to just share our lives and to understand the ladies and the gentlemen of Cambodia better. We were also privileged with a private glimpse into their lives. Some of them invited us to visit them in their homes. Some of them are from the city, and some of them actually live out in the village where Darren and Monaco have built the community center where we had the sports camp. So first of all, we were introduced to the staff at the center where, got distracted there. We were introduced to the staff at the Sewing Center, and that was where we would spend time with them. We would get to know them better over the 6 days. We taught things such as stretching, we took their blood pressure. We taught them about how to recognize emergency situations, when to go to the doctor. We talked about the risks of alcohol. We also combined these teachings with a devotional every time we were there with them, and we were able to share God's word. I want to report back to you because we've known Darren and Monaco for several years. They come to us every October for many years now, and they come and they dress in their Kamai clothing, and they share, they sell their wares for us, to us in our church foyer, and we kind of know them that way. But we want to report to you about the work that they're actually doing. We could see during our visit how much work that they were doing. Some of the staff have been with Darren and Monaco for many, many years, and they're believers. They've been exposed to Jesus Christ every morning. Every morning before they work, they sing hymns together, and they always have a devotional. So they don't always have it just when we come. They always have it every day of their work lives. And that is how Darren and Monaco are pouring God into their lives. They know the scripture. They have Bibles on their phones. Some of them have physical Bibles. So in their workplace, too, I want to share with you, you can see some of the Kamai script on the wall. The ladies have gotten together, and they've decided what values do we think are important for us to have at work. And some of the words written on their walls are trustworthiness, seeking God, love, respect, honor, and obey. And it was a joy to see that, because the truth is, in Cambodia, women are not treated well. They are second-class citizens. For them to say that in their community they have these values that they share and that they can support one another with, I think it is a place of refuge for them to come together. We saw them being together, sharing together, not just working together, but they are a community that supports one another. They always have new staff come and join, so there is a lot of room for God's love to be shared to new people all the time. So actually, that's the end of my formal sharing. But I just want to say, I think I forgot to show you some photos. Oh, no, I'm not done. I was going to talk to you guys about the home visits. So in the city, we were invited to come and visit 3 homes. We drove our van, parked in an alley, and we walked into this alley that we had to walk towards a street. And in that neighborhood, somebody had passed away recently, so there was a funeral chant going on in the background, and it was, you know, their way of mourning the dead, but it was also just very symbolic for us. It reminded us of why God needs to be there and why we were there. And we were privileged to go and visit the ladies in their home. We were privileged to pray with them. But we could also see how they lived. Because actually visiting them in the sewing center, it's a very modern building. It's very clean. It's not air conditioned, but they had fans and they had beautiful toilets that were clean. When we visited their homes, we got a serious understanding of what it's like. And even in this home, you can see there's tiled floor. It's actually a nice home, but they have very simple homes. They are protected because they actually have a roof that probably doesn't leak. They have a tiny kitchen you can see in the center, usually just butane stoves. And the homes are shared. This home was shared by at least 3 families. So they live in extended families together in a small home. Often one family shares one room, and all of them sleep together in there, and they don't have mattresses. They sleep on mats on the tile floors or whatever floor they have. When we went to the village, we could see there's different homes in the village. They're a little bit more rustic. But this, actually, you can see the green home is a newer home. These are people that have been working with Darren and Monaco for a while. They are paid a living wage. And this is the new home that they were so proud to share with us. They're mostly built on stilts because they want to have that space underneath for shade. And you can see inside, they have, you know, a bed. That bed is shared by the whole family. We began to understand the living conditions that these ladies have. And I think that what we understood is by the work that Darren and Manako are doing in Cambodia, they are raising up all these families individually by paying them a living wage, by sharing the gospel with them, and by actually loving them. We saw so many times that they would come up and hug Darren and Manako. They see them as their mother and father. So as a church, we are senders of Darren and Manako. It was our privilege to witness the work that Darren and Manako are doing. And so I hope that inspires you to support the work that they do or other missionaries that we hear around the world, that their work is real. And it's so abstract to us. But thank you for sending us so that we can go and see and bring that news back to you. Got to show this other home. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm really disorganized today. I'm going to stop this for a minute and just say the last thing that I wanted to share was the very last day that we were there, we sat and rolled t-shirts with the ladies. They have an order from Samaritan's Purse for 25,000 t-shirts. And so then we had to roll 25,000 t-shirts, package them into bundles, put them in boxes so they could be shipped to Samaritan's Purse. So we were sitting there and doing that. I've never done it before. We sat on the floor for like 5 hours. I don't know how these women do it. They're amazing. But their joy, I want to show you this video that just really showed me the joy of the love that they share with one another and their community.
Hi, everybody. Okay, during the sports camp, I played with a lot of the little girls there and watched as they smiled and laughed wholeheartedly, seemingly without a care in the world. However, I also watched as Darren looked at them with sad eyes and said, I already know their future. As Auntie Doris touched on, women are not treated well in Cambodia. Women and child trafficking is unfortunately still a really big issue in the country. And besides that, women face years of intergenerational trauma behind them, struggling to find good work, and systemic gender inequality. Even so, I was amazed by how resilient the women that I met there was. I wanted to share stories of two of the young women that I got to know on the trip that worked in the sewing center. One of them is Hun Chu. She's at the top photo showing me the little pot of chilies. She's 19 years old, and her mother works as one of the head seamstresses at the sewing center. Hun Chu also joined her mother to work with Manako a couple of years ago. One of her mother's biggest wishes for her was to learn English. So she works at the sewing center all week, and then on the weekends, she learns English through studying the Bible. Throughout the week, her and I got to know each other a little bit through although much of it was through like shared glances when something funny would happen, or short conversations through Google Translate. I really cherished not only laughing with her about dating and boys, but also encouraging her on her spiritual walk and in learning English. The other lady that I want to show you about is Sokhan. She's here with her little boy. She's 24 years old, and we had the special opportunity to visit her in her home, which Auntie Joyce actually showed. I didn't know she was showing. So I'm just going to go back. Here, this is her home. She lives there with her husband, her in-laws, and her three kids. Her husband is also one of Darren's employees, too. And as we visited her, we were actually hit by a vicious windstorm and like a downpour. So we all huddled and we crouched in that green room that you see on the right, sitting shoulder to shoulder with the whole team and her whole family. We heard a little bit more about her life. She shared with us about how she used to live in this unsturdy hut that was right next to this tin building now. And this hut had dirt floors and holes in the roof. But thank you, thanks to the work with Darren and Monaco, she's been able to move her family into this tin house with concrete floors. Monaco also shared that when she first met Sokhan and her family, her father-in-law had been an alcoholic and abusive. He knew that they were trying to share God's word, and he would try to chase them out of the property. But now, after seeing the consistency of Darren and Monaco and the work that they're doing there, how they're helping Sokhan's life and changing her physically and spiritually, he welcomed us with smiles. So one of my favorite memories of the entire trip was sharing a meal with them, which you can kind of see in some of those photos. It was at the sewing center, and all of us were mingling and getting to know each other the best we could with the language barrier. It was just so inspiring to hear about how their lives had changed before and after meeting with Jaron Monaco and all the good news and provision that God has brought them. It brings me a lot of hope to see the change that their ministry has been doing for the people in Cambodia, especially to uplift the future of the girls there.
Good morning. My name is Garland, and thank you for being on mission with us through prayer and through donations. Your prayers moved the mighty hand of God, and it strengthened, thank you, us through the heat and humidity in Cambodia, which is also known as the Cambodian Weight Loss Program. So honestly, we relied on your prayers every day as we served. And I want to share just two stories with you, and I want to begin with God's word. In Isaiah 30:18, it says, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises up to show you compassion. Blessed are all who wait on him." So this is the lady that I want to share about. This is back here, Sofiq. Sofiq is the lady on the right, and she is one of the workers at the sewing center. So after the health class, we got to spend some one-on-one time with the workers, and they shared their health concerns with us. Apparently, the Cambodian doctors, they don't have time to explain the patient's conditions to them. So what would happen is that they just write a prescription and send them home or for further testing. So imagine how frustrating you would be if you went to a doctor and they didn't explain anything to you. So when we came, we were the listening ears. With your prayers, we became those concerned hearts, and we did our best in providing the medical care. It was by God's grace that everything that we brought along for our team's use, including all the GI meds and all the iron pills and sunscreen lotion and vitamins that you sent, was perfectly suited for the workers in the sewing center. So how God used every little thing that we brought to reveal his love to each of the workers was absolutely a miracle. In this case, Sofiq had terrible stomach aches, and every afternoon she would end up not eating because of this pain, and she kept losing weight. She had already gone to the hospital and got some treatment, but she didn't have enough money to get more medication. So when we went, I took out the Pepto-Bismol after further assessment of what the stomach pain is all about, and her eyes just lit up because that was the exact medication that she got at the hospital. She couldn't believe it. And so we were just so joyful about how God has provided. She was treated, and then we continued our relationship. We always prayed over all our patients, which was a special privilege for us. We can see that money is not the only way of healing people. Prayer actually is, because God has already started his compassionate work in the lives. And so we continue to pray for them, and I feel that that morning, both our lives were transformed. Now, the second lady I want to talk about is, her name is Dari. Unlike Sofiq, who was uplifted from the life of poverty, working as a garbage scavenger, my second story is about a very capable translator who happens to be the new pastor's wife in the village. I'm so inspired by Dari, who prays with compassion and conviction and with gentleness. She would stand or kneel, as you can see, beside the patient with her hands on their shoulders, just tapping gently for emphasis while she called out to the God of justice. In her 20s, Dari came to know Jesus through a ESL class hosted by a missionary. She soon invited Jesus into her heart, and then one day, while she was studying, she heard a great commotion outside in the hall, and people were yelling and screaming for help. Apparently, a 9-year-old girl was found lifeless after someone had sexually molested her. Dari ran to help, and in all the chaos, something triggered in her mind. It was a flashback of a similar tragic incident in her own life, which she had suppressed for all these years. But now it surfaced again with vengeance, and she lost control of her gentle demeanor and started crying and screaming out to Jesus, "Why did you let this happen to this child? Why did you let it happen to me?" As a helpless victim, her pain just started to pour out to Jesus. She was angry with God. The rage of being vulnerable and defenseless gripped her. After the ambulance came and took the little girl away, everyone went home. But Dari continued to cry out in grief and anger and despair, running back and forth in the classroom, raising her fist to God. Until time passed and she was so exhausted, she laid face down on the floor. And then, in the stillness and the silence, she heard a voice, "Get up." She knew there was no one in the room. She wiped her eyes and looked around, and sure enough, there wasn't anyone. She felt something close to her, and she heard the voice again, "Get up." All of a sudden, she realized that was Jesus speaking to her. She knew that he was breathing healing and power into her life. She knew then that Jesus was calling her to leave the past behind, a past that the evil one had used to break her and to bind her. It was a powerful turning point for Dari. She has since followed Jesus, the one who suffers with her, with the personal intimacy which is most evident in her prayer. At the end of our conversation, she said to me, emphatically, "You may not see what your team has done in Cambodia, but because you came, because you prayed and served, God will do a great thing. God will do a great work of transformation. We will see it in the years to come. Cambodia will change. The power of the gospel will transform lives." This was like a prophetic prayer from her heart for her whole country. Her faith is secured in the God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. So please continue to pray. Continue to ask God of compassion to be with those who suffer in Cambodia. And may they hear God's voice and encounter him. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Miranda. As you have heard already, one of the ministry highlights of our trip was definitely serving the ladies in the sewing center. And let me share a bit of my experience there. As Doris has said, the last day we were at the center, our task was to count and fold hundreds and thousands of those white t-shirts that will be shipped to for Samaritan Purse shoebox. And everyone would have thought, including myself, how hard would it be to fold and roll and tie t-shirt? But it was definitely harder than I thought. Okay, look at the t-shirt. Look at the left pile and look at the right pile. Which one is better? The right pile is my work and the left one is theirs. The right one, you can tell, actually, you may only tell maybe far away, but it was, mine was unrolled, can be unrolled easily, was unevenly folded, and was tied very unevenly too, so it probably fall off, and it looks very untidy. The lady seeing my piles smiles and patiently taught me how to make the perfect piles by using both my feet and my hands to do it. And that's how they actually do it. That's why they're actually sitting on the floors, because they can use both hands and feet. And it was a joy to work with them, to be taught by them. And they were very proud of my improvement after my, and bright is my improvement, and after that advice for me. And it was actually a very humbling experience for me. As you know, all of us who go into a short-term team, we always say, well, you know, this is something I want to teach you, this is something I want to offer to you. However, they have much to offer to me and to teach me. And they offer not only the arts of folding, but also their patience, their hospitality, which you had heard from our team members, their acceptance and their appreciation. And talking about appreciation, that's how it happened at the end. Soon after we said a very light goodbye to them, the last day in the sewing center, and then we're collecting our backpacks and leaving and going to the van. Quite unexpectedly, they suddenly stop all the work and they gather outside the sewing center in a circle. One by one, they express their appreciation of our coming and our teaching them. And they promised they would try to follow through with what they had learned and in the past week, both for their own physical health and also for their soul. What virtue of humbleness, trust, openness, and appreciation towards these 10 strangers, us, who came into their lives only a week ago. And when you heard about the story, the history of Cambodia, and the pain they had gone through and all the violence they had gone through, I just feel that trust and that openness is so hard to. For me, I find that is just incomprehensible, and I just really appreciate that. And while we have so many more stories that we want to share with you, however, time is running out, so the next thing is we will be sharing our story, our God's story in Cambodia, on September the 27th, as a Friday evening, and the details would come. But pencil in, mark it down on your calendar, and come and hear more story of God's. And that, as my team members have said, go and be there and be to see God's work, and also see how God will work in your lives too. And last but not the least, I also find that this is a very humbling and rich experience for me to go on this short-term mission. To have this common experience with my 9 team members is just double, triple, quadruple, all the richness of the experience. To be able to see the pictures again, to hear the story, it just reminds me again of God's grace for us. And thank you for praying for us. Thank you for part of the team sending us. And yeah, God bless you.
Well, you heard some of the stories, and as she said, we'll do more stories. We've run over time here today as we wrap up. Would you stand as I pray a benediction over you and send you out until next week into our world here? This is from Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We'll see you again next week.